This audio is a reading of the popular level version of my paper titled, Does Hell Last Forever? A Christian Case for Final Destruction. Presents a simplified and conversational exploration of what the Bible really says about the final destiny of the unrighteous, comparing the traditional view of eternal torment with the view known as annihilationism. This version is designed to be accessible for everyday listeners and faithful to Scripture, without getting bogged down in technical language or academic footnotes. Please note, for smoother listening, some elements such as section headings, appendices, and the full bibliography have been left out. To explore those resources, I encourage you to read the full written version at defendtheword.com. A companion academic paper is also available for those who wish to explore this subject in greater depth. Gene Williams Jr., PhD, Defend the Word Ministries, North Point Church. What is annihilationism? Annihilationism teaches that the wicked will face real judgment after death, including a conscious awareness in the intermediate state, like we see in Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus. But after the final judgment, described as the second death in Revelation 20, the unrighteous will ultimately be destroyed. They will not live forever in torment. Instead, their punishment is real, proportional, and final. In contrast, the traditional view says people suffer forever in conscious torment. But this raises deep theological and moral questions. Is it just for a finite life of sin to receive infinite pain? Would God, who is love, really sustain someone in eternal suffering without end? What does the Bible say? Let's look at a few key verses and pay close attention to the language. Romans 6 verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Not torment. Not endless suffering. Death. Then there's Matthew 10 verse 28 where Jesus says, "Fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." That's a strong word, destroy, not torture forever. And 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 says, "They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction." Now that phrase, eternal destruction, can be confusing. Doesn't mean a destruction that goes on and on forever. It means a destruction that can't be undone. It's final. It's permanent. Yes, some verses use phrases like eternal fire or eternal punishment. But context really matters here. For example, Jude 7 says that Sodom and Gomorrah suffered the punishment of eternal fire. But are those cities still burning today? Of course not. The fire was eternal in its effect, not in how long it burned. Point wasn't ongoing flames, it was irreversible judgment. What about hell's fire? The Bible often uses fire as a symbol of judgment and finality, not ongoing torture. Malachi 4 says the wicked will be burned up like stubble. Psalm 37 says the wicked will vanish like smoke. These are images of complete removal, not unending agony. Even the eternal fire of Gehenna, referenced by Jesus, drew from the imagery of a literal garbage dump outside Jerusalem where things were burned completely and finally. What did the early church believe? Before Augustine, 4th, 5th century AD, early Christian thinkers weren't united on eternal torment. Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, and Theophilus of Antioch leaned toward the idea that immortality is a gift, not something the soul naturally has. If that's true, then only those in Christ receive eternal life. The rest don't continue suffering forever, they simply cease to be. Proportional justice. God is fair. One of the strengths of annihilationism is that it reflects proportional justice, a principle rooted in both Scripture and our moral intuition. Jesus said that some would receive many blows and others few, Luke 12 verses 47 and 48. In the end, all punishment culminates in the second death, but the path there reflects each person's life, sin, and level of rejection. Think of it this way, a rebellious teen, an unbelieving but moral grandmother, and someone like Hitler do not all receive the same judgment. God sees the heart and will judge with precision. This reflects the biblical idea of lex talionis, measure for measure, a justice that is never excessive, never arbitrary. God honors human freedom ultimately. God won't force anyone into heaven. Some reject him not out of ignorance but by choice, preferring to be their own gods even if it costs them everything. God respects that choice, but he won't prolong suffering without purpose. As a father grieves when a child chooses a path of destruction, shattering the dreams once held for them, so God grieves those who reject life. But in his mercy, he puts an end to suffering. He does not coerce love, nor does he perpetuate pain. Why this matters, this isn't about making hell more comfortable. Annihilation is still judgment, it's still the terrifying end of all hope for those who reject Christ. But it's also a view that upholds God's holiness and his mercy. It calls us to live not out of fear of unending torture, but in joyful reverence of a God who offers eternal life as a gift, not a default, and who does not delight in the death of the wicked, but longs for all to come to repentance, Ezekiel 33 verse 11, 2 Peter 3 verse 9. This is a God worth trusting. A God whose justice is true. A God whose mercy is deep. And a God who invites but never forces.